When I was an army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here. This is a pretty short one, but I think it packs a pretty big punch of resurrection. I think we need that message today. A reading from Genesis 45. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts and go, get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good out of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver, and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after his manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came unto the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here we see the reward of Jacob, the happiness that he experienced with his discovery that his son is alive. This is a miracle for him. He doesn't trust his own son's word. They have to do some extra convincing. And it's only when he sees the wagons, and not necessarily the wagons of food, but the wagons that are going to carry him to Egypt. Why else would anyone in Egypt want old Jacob to come down if it wasn't because his son is alive? Even if these gifts are some sort of generosity of the Pharaoh, the delivery of Jacob is something that can only mean one thing, that Joseph is alive. We remember the last time they talked about Joseph and his status was when they brought a bloody coat of many colors to their father Jacob, the brothers. And they brought this coat of many colors dipped in goat's blood and said, We found this. Joseph must be dead, torn apart by wild beasts. And so this is the image that Jacob has held his entire life. For decades, Jacob has seen this image of the bloody cloak. Maybe he kept it in a safe place in his tent. Maybe he buried it. Maybe he burned it. But he couldn't get the memory out of his mind of the horror of his son's death. And yet, it is something that never happened. in fact, something else had happened that Joseph had come to believe was something that God did. Here we see another principle of how to live our lives, that a lot of the stuff that we see in our minds, our interpretations of the past, of events that happened to us, of horrors that may or may not have happened, horrors that yet might come, things we're worried about, things we wonder about, things we're scared of. All of these, or many of these, exist only in our mind. They exist only there. And they're real because our minds are real. Our minds create the reality that we experience. And so these images of really terrible things can stay with us a really long time. And for Jacob, that has been the case until this new vision of reality hits him square in the face. He doesn't believe it. His heart faints. And then he believes them, and he is revived. We can see healing in real time. We can see him come back to life. The traumatic events of life can really take us down into a state of near death. And that is where Jacob has lived all these years. You can hear it in his voice in the other chapters when he talks about Joseph and Benjamin and his situation. You can hear his despair, his groaning, his depression, his wanting to be dead all the time. And here he has a new reason to be alive. And it is because Joseph is alive. It is a resurrection of sorts, a coming back to life, if not in reality, in his mind. And we experience these kinds of resurrections all the time, if we are aware of them, if we are open to them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the first fruits of that, that his resurrection points to the fact that everything dies and everything comes back to life, even the things that are impossible to believe that they will. This is what happens to Jacob, this impossible resurrection of his son, and he is revived. Every Sunday, we celebrate this at church. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate life coming out of death. And we believe that, and we claim that, and we try our best, with God's help, to live like that. What if we really lived in the power of the resurrection? What if we really lived believing that things come back to life, that lives come back to life, that we come back to life? Let's live like that today. Amen.